I'm Christine DiMatte, and you're listening to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. Manatees are much beloved in Florida. And why not? They're the teddy bears of the sea. Big and lumbering, almost comical when they move through the water. And so cute with their smushy faces and their whiskers. But sadly, their slowness is the thing that nearly brought them to extinction, since they've been forced to share the waterways with fast-moving boaters. In recent years, however, the manatee population has rebounded to such a degree that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced last month that it would downgrade the West Indian manatee from endangered to threatened. But not everybody is cheering about that. And joining us is Kate Stein, WLRN's environmental reporter.
Hi, Christine.
Hey, Kate. And also joining us, Jim Vlad, Manatee Recovery Coordinator for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Okay. Well, we're having a little trouble getting Jim on the line. And with any luck, we have got Patrick Rose, Executive Director of Save the Manatee Club. Have we got Patrick?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, Patrick. Okay, and we're just waiting for one more guest. That would be Jim Vlad, representing the federal government on this one. We'll go to Kate Stein first. Kate, this week you spoke to a researcher with the U.S. Geological Survey, which released a study on Florida's manatee population. So what's the count? How many are there in Florida?
So researchers counted about a little over 6,000 manatees now, and that's up from just a few over 1,000 back in the 90s. So it's been a pretty significant population increase. This particular study, though, looked at forecasting the future for West Indian manatees in Florida. And it found that the population could potentially double in the next 40 to 50 years. There's a little bit of uncertainty as to how much the growth would actually be. But basically, the conclusion that the study drew is that the population under the status quo conditions will continue to increase, most likely, and perhaps as much as double.
Okay, and on the line, I think that we do have Jim Vlad. Jim, do we have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, he's Manatee Recovery Coordinator for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. But we've had some rough luck with telephone lines today because, unfortunately, we just lost Patrick Rose of Save the Manatee Club. But, Jim, while we have you, please tell us, what is the distinction between endangered and threatened when we're talking about the manatee?
Under the Endangered Species Act, endangered is defined as a species in danger of extinction throughout all or a significant portion of its range. And a threatened species is one that's likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. There's an important distinction there, and it's a timing one. The service's understanding of the definition of an endangered species is that's one that's in danger or on the brink of extinction, whereas a threatened species is not.
Okay, and what were the reasons that the federal government has for removing the West Indian manatee from the list?
Well, the service conducted a status review, and we reviewed threats. We did what's known as a five-factor threats analysis, and we looked at such things as a habitat. We looked at the disease, predation. We looked at the
disease,
inadequacy of regulatory
you,
measures
wait,
and things
Jim,
of
can
that
you,
nature.
Jim, can you define disease predation?
Oh, a disease and predation.
And predation, okay.
Yeah, we considered those, and really those are not threats to the manatee. Disease processes are virtually unknown in manatees, and there are virtually no predators when it comes to manatees.
So they're bouncing back, and I do believe that we have Patrick Rose back. Okay, and now I do believe we've got everybody. Patrick Rose, Executive Director of Save the Manatee Club.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hey, Patrick. Patrick, let me ask you a question. When you heard that the manatee was downlisted, what went through your mind?
Well, we had about a year's notice that the service was proposing to do this. And the service did actually request people to write in and give them comments as to whether this was an appropriate reclassification effort or not. Approximately 87,000 people responded. All of those except 72, in effect, were saying, don't do this. It's not time. It's premature. The service went further and they sent out for scientific peer review manatee experts and asked them for their opinion whether they should do it now or not. And to my understanding and reading all of those, none of those peer review experts recommended going forward at this time. That's for many different reasons. Some of it has to do with this is the West Indian manatee, which has the Florida manatee as a subspecies, and the Antillean manatee, and they're not, you know, the situations are not equal in both subspecies. Nonetheless, we believe that the requirements of the Endangered Species Act require them to consider the entire species. And what they've done is not used the best available scientific information, either in for the Florida manatee or the Antillean manatee. So that's one of the problems we see. There's also what's called the five-factor test for whether a species is endangered or not.
Right, and we just heard about that.
They have not met those five factors either. And maybe one in particular would be good to talk about is whether a species is endangered in a significant portion of its range. And I'll just say one more thing and then rest. They have determined, the Fish and Wildlife Service, if there's an area can only be deemed a significant portion of its range is if those animals went extinct in that one specific area, it would cause the entire population to be endangered. Or in Jim's statement, on the brink of extinction, we believe that's not an appropriate definition of significant portion of its range.
Okay. Jim, can you respond to that?
Sure. You know, the law requires the agency to use the best available scientific and commercial information available to us at the time of the status review, and we used, you know, what information was there. We believe that you know, the information was you know, was solid, and it certainly compelled us to move forward with this effort to reclassify the species.
Okay, and Jim, a top wildlife official for the federal government was quoted as saying, "We expect no change in speed zones," and sidebar, those are those low speed zones and waterways, "in the enforcement of speed zones, no change in manatee protection area, no changes in anything," is what he said. But no sooner did he say that than, you know, so no sooner were they downlisted than Brevard County started swinging into action. They approved a resolution requesting that lawmakers, state lawmakers, take a closer look at slow speed zones. And they also called for reconsideration of the state's Manatee Sanctuary Act. So wouldn't that suggest that downlisting kind of propels individual counties to sort of ease up on these slow zones?
Well, you know, Brevard County, you know, they adopted that resolution last year before the species was formally downlisted. They adopted that resolution after we published our proposal last year. And what happened, you know, with that particular initiative was that, you know, basically it got nowhere. There was no support for that resolution in Tallahassee. That's not to say it couldn't happen again, but no, I mean, we had no evidence that that this sort of thing, you know, would happen with certainty, and that it would happen to the detriment of the species. You know, in our threats analysis, one of the things that we looked at was the inadequacy of existing regulatory mechanisms. And you know,
okay,
let me
just stop you right there. Inadequacy of,
yes,
regulatory mechanisms, saying, in other words, state and regional municipalities are not being strong enough in their regulations. Am I correct?
No, well, that's not the interpretation of a review of inadequacy. What you're looking at is you're looking at the existing regulations that are in place and assessing whether or not they are adequate to protect the species. And we made that determination that they were then and they are now. And quite frankly, you know, if these protections are pulled back, you know, we would have to seriously consider the effect of those actions on the new status of the species.
Okay.
You know, manatees are now identified as a threatened species. They still need our help. You know, we still need to control the threat of watercraft collisions and other parameters that
right,
affect the future of the species.
And
so,
And I'm sorry, I just want to go to Kate Stein a second. Kate, in addition to boat strikes, what are some other things that might interfere with manatees' population growth?
The one major concern with respect to how much the population can actually grow is that manatees depend on power plants, interestingly enough, to stay warm in the winter. They have very low body fat, and the discharges of warm water from power plants are some of the places where they like to stay. And some power plants in Florida have been closed recently, so there's concern that there just aren't enough warm water areas from the power plants to support a growing species. And it actually would be interesting, Jim, is this something that the Fish and Wildlife Service took into consideration as you made this recommendation of changing the manatee status?
Absolutely. You know, once again, you know, manatees are a threatened species. There are many threats that remain. And watercraft collisions and the loss of, you know, warm water habitat are the two primary threats that are still in play.
Okay, Jim, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you half a second. Before we wrap up, I need to go to Patrick before we leave. And with this last question, Patrick, if the fear is that there's not enough protection for manatees, how can federal and state governments work in concert to make sure there is enough protection? Very quickly, and then we have to go.
Yeah, let's just look at the animals themselves. More than 80% of every manatee has bear scars from being struck by boats. We know watercraft is the number one problem manatees face, in addition to red tide, the cold stress, and the habitat losses. We don't have that under control. We just broke the all-time record, and we're going to be probably looking at breaking it again and again. So there's more that needs to be done there. So they've got
this is the all-time record for manatees
for watercraft mortality
struck and killed by boats, correct?
We also had probably 50 or 60 more that were brought in for rescued and treated, and that likely would have died had that not happened. The area that the service is also woefully not considered
Patrick,
is the loss of habitat.
Yes, Patrick. So in brief, what do you feel in brief? Because we really have to go. What do you think needs to be done?
Well, I think they have to look more seriously at the loss of habitat. The first point under the Endangered Species Act is
looking more
and destruction of modification to habitat.
Looking more at
controlled or likely to be controlled.
Patrick Rose, Executive Director of the Save the Manatee Club. We've also been joined by Jim Vallad, Manatee Recovery Coordinator for the Federal Wildlife Service, and Kate Stein, WLRN's Environmental Reporter. Thank you all very, very much.
Thanks, Christine.
And that is all the time that we have for today's Florida Roundup. The Roundup is produced by Bridget O'Brien. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontado is our Digital Director. Our News Director is Taryn Shepherd. Alicia Zuckerman is our Editorial Director. WLRN's program director is Peter J. Mayers. Our technical supervisor is Jason Zabka. I'm Christine DiMatte. Thanks for listening.